Boy, exciting day at the ballpark today with the retirement of number 22 for Will Clark. A pleasure to bring in Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark, a big day at the ballpark today, the Will Clark number 22 being retired. Maybe your thoughts about that retirement, then we'll talk a little bit more about Will.
I think it's pretty cool. Like, it's interesting how that it did admittedly take a while for it to happen. But I think that's the case with most uniform number retirements. The Mets just had one with Keith Hernandez that took a long time as well. I think he's very deserving, and I think he's kind of like he's a player that you appreciate more now, and he's a player that you appreciate after he's gone, because the one thing that was like a sticking point in the things that I would share with Dave and John and Mike and Dwayne was that he never had a bad season. Like, he got out at the right time. He got out at the end of his career. And he just, every season for him is just either an okay season or a really good one. There's nothing bad in there for him.
But he was a big clutch hitter. I mean, and we listened to some of the highlights today. And, of course, we're going to have Mark Grace on in our next segment talking about the 89 playoff with the Cubs. But walk-offs, look how many walk-off hits.
Yeah, he had a considerable number of those. And also, I like this one. If you look at runners in scoring position, 1987 to 1992, his OPS, 87, 48% better than the league average. 1988, almost 100%. Like, he was in 1,000 OPS with runners in scoring position. Next year, wow. 1169 with runners in scoring position. And it's just over and over and over and over for him that anytime you needed him to deliver a big hit, he got one. And 89 is a great case in point for that, certainly.
Very good. I didn't know that. That's a great stat. I did not know that at all. That's a good one. You're a Met fan, and this was for you, getting 17 retired. And now everyone this is a possible Hall of Famer. You do that and Will Clark that way.
So I feel that like Will Clark is kind of behind Keith in the pecking order a little bit, and that's primarily because of the defensive performance. I think if you were going to make a pecking order for first baseman, he's not necessarily that far down the list, and it wouldn't shock me if, 10 to 15 years from now that he did wind up in the Hall of Fame.
All right. Well, we'll see. I'm not gonna convince you. I know that that Keith Hernandez. All right. I know how you feel about Keith Hernandez. We love him too, but if you're going to talk about him as a Hall of Famer, Will Clark's got to be in there. All right. Now, the last season Will Clark had for the Cardinals, it was a big season. Hit over 300, and it's a David Ortiz, Ted Williams theory of I'm going to leave on top, so to speak.
Yeah, it was, and he also had a great postseason too. It's kind of forgotten because in 2000, the Cardinals lost to the Mets in the NLCS. But if I remember right, I think he hit something like 350, something in that range in the NLCS, and was essentially the Cardinals' best hitter in that series. And he was a great postseason hitter throughout. And then, as you said, he got out. So he gets out essentially on the Ted Williams, David Ortiz. Before David Ortiz, it was like Ted Williams and him were like the standard setters for those kinds of seasons. And I think if you want to talk Hall of Fame case, if he plays like 2 to 3 more years, he looks a little bit better because, and this is kind of getting sabermetric about it, but he's like just a little bit shy of the average first baseman Hall of Fame for career, like wins above replacement. And then he's just a little bit shy for peak, like top 7, 8 years, wins above replacement. So I think if he had a little bit more good, I think that makes him a little bit easier case for the mathematic oriented people, like myself.
All right. I understand where you're coming from. To me, he's a Hall of Famer. With all the things that we've talked about today and listening to all these highlights and going back through his career. But look, hey, he's getting his number retired, and it's right in between Willie Mays, so that's not too bad. For Will Clark today. Simon is with us, Sports Info Solutions. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, how about this pitching matchup? They drew these back, and Jacob Jackson, whose numbers of runners in scoring position are outstanding. And we've got the right-handed lineup in to face Smiley.
Yeah, I knew you were going to bring up Junis's numbers with runners in scoring position. The other thing that is really impressive about him is strike one. When he gets strike one, when he gets past the first pitch, and sometimes he has trouble getting past the first pitch because guys kind of sit on certain things with him. But when he gets strike one and he's ahead, his numbers are top 10 in baseball, like in terms of performance against him. Like the OPS is down in the 400s, whereas normally it would be like from average guys being like the, you know, the 600s. He's right there with the most elite pitchers like the Shohei Ohtanis and the Gonsolins and those guys. And I think that's that and the RISP are certainly two highly impressive things about him this season so far. And he looked good, the slider at least looked good last time out. 25 to 34 for strikes, 8 outs, 1 hit allowed.
Well, that's all he's got is a slider. Yeah. I mean, that's what, you know, you know, let's face it, you know, his stuff,
yeah.
You know, the fastballs. Come on, and he's got a wipeout slider, and it just must break very late because people are not hitting that slider. They're not putting it in play.
Yeah, the opponent's batting average against it is 188. Yep.
All right. Well, I'm glad we agree on something today. All right, we agree on the slider of Jacob Junis. What about Smiley, though? You know, he's a lefty. We've seen him, of course, at the ballpark before. 9 homers, 55 innings. And what is Drew Smiley doing this year?
So he's a little bit different, and I imagine that he's kind of auditioning for someone that might want to take him for a prospect, and the Cubs certainly have a few guys like that. This season, he has traded in his sinker for more of a cutter. The problem is that the cutter gets hit, and the cutter gets hit pretty hard, so he's got to be really careful of that today. The Giants have had trouble against right-handed cutters this year, less so the cutters from lefties. But he has had trouble with the numbers are really ugly in that regard, but, he's better than he's been, in the past. Last year, his numbers were pretty, pretty bad. This year, his K to walks a lot better, and his homers per nine are down. And I think that's kind of the trade-off for him, that even though the cutter's getting hit a little bit more, he's been able to bring everything else under control.
All right, well, that cutter better get in on the right-handed hitters like Tyler Anderson did. If it does not get it in on the right-handed hitters, they're going to take him out. So 9 homers this year, 8 solos for Drew Smiley. What a month of July this has been for the Giants. It's just been awful and continues May and June, really. If you could look at anything about the hitting, pitching, fielding, whatever, in this month of July, what jumps out at you?
I got one of each. So pitching-wise, something that I think was a little uncharacteristic of this team, 3.6 walks per 9 innings this month, and that's among the worst of the teams in the sport. You want to be under 3, ideally. And if you look at the teams with the highest walks per 9 in July, it's all the bad teams. Like, if giving up free bases is going to get you in trouble any way you look at it. So that's one way you can give up free bases is a walk. The other way you can give up a free base is with a defensive misplay. And we've seen the rough stuff that we've seen this month, other than, like, not yesterday's game, but the game 2 days ago. They played decently on defense. But last night with Diaz dropping the fly ball, Giants are second in misplays and errors in July. And that's not just counting the things that are scored as errors, things well beyond that. And I think that's an easy one to grasp. And then the other issue is that the Giants just aren't hitting the ball hard enough. They rank 26th in percentage of batted balls that were what we would call hard hit. And they rank 25th in percentage of fly balls that left the ballpark, which is something that they ranked very highly in last year. Those are bad numbers.
Well, if you can't hit, you can't pitch, and you can't field, it's not a good month.
No, it's dreadful.
Yes, okay. Well, they've got to turn it around. That's why, you know, they played 100 games and they've got 62 more to go. And as Bill Parcells, one of your favorites, says, you are what your record is, and that is part of this. Well, the Cubs are here. They made a trade today with the Dodgers. You want to talk about that one for a second? And look, Contreras is here. Robertson last night, we got a good look at him. What do you think?
Yeah, the deal today is kind of the prelude, I think, to the bigger stuff, because they have two pieces with Robertson and Contreras that can be marquee pieces for another team. And, like, the Mets are the most obvious of those. But in terms of catchers, like, if you look at the bottom half dozen teams in terms of offensive production from catcher this season, there are a lot of contending teams in that group. Like, the Astros are one, the Mets are one, the Rays are one. They won't have a shortage of shoppers for, you know, arguably the best offensive catcher, or, you know, top two, top three in the sport. So I think that's one marquee piece. David Robertson, I saw him pitch, it was about a week or so ago. I didn't watch last night, but saw him a week ago, and I was like, wow, there are like 20 teams that would like that guy because his mm-hmm. stuff is yeah. really nasty. Curveball, everything. Yeah, opponent's batting average, like 150 lefties, 150 righties. Who wouldn't want a guy like that? Chris Martin's a middle reliever with a great strikeout-to-walk ratio that the Dodgers will probably turn into an outstanding pitcher. He's got an 11.5 to 1 K-to-walk, and I'm sure that's exactly what the Dodgers need, and I'm sure they're more than happy to have him. David Robertson's a little more adventurous with the strikeouts and walks, but as I said, I think there are probably 15 teams that would sign up for him right now.
How is Contreras as a receiver? Because Houston has Maldonado, who they love. What about right. Contreras as a catcher, very quickly?
That's a good question. So he's polarizing because his pitch framing isn't great, but he's good at the other stuff. So it becomes a question of how much do you believe in the pitch framing metrics and how much do you value them? If you're willing to take the small hit for that, then he's more than worth it.
Boy, great to talk with you. I hope you listen to this ceremony, 5 o'clock. KMBR is going to have the whole thing. And then we're going to talk to you next week about why Will Clark is a Hall of Famer, okay?
You got it.
All right. Have a good afternoon. Thanks, Mark. Pleasure.
You,
Mark Simon, pleasure. Sports Info Solutions, great stuff. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to come back with Mark Grace, Brandon Belt, and Gabe Kapler as we wrap up the show for today. Boy, a lot of good things happening at the ballpark today. More coming up right after this.